the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Yes. Oh gosh, I'm itching my ear, and I could be live. Whatever.
No, that's okay. You can itch your ear, and you know, do everything, but get food out of your teeth and get a boogie out your nose.
I've done all that.
Exactly. Well, I'm so glad to have you all the way here on the Edge with me. Okay. The place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Here's to you, baby. Brains, we have right there Mel Larson from the UK. She has such a sparkly personality. She is just warm and inviting, and she is a marketing maven. We're going to talk to her about life in the UK. What does marketing really look like now in this new different? Because I can't call it normal, girl. We ain't leveled out. They've moved to a tier 5 in the UK. I want to know what that's like. And maybe some fun facts, because she just is so funny. And girl, them earrings is wearing me down. Those are gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. So Brains, help me welcome our guest today to the show, Mel Larson. Hi.
Hi, April, and hi, Brains. I am so excited to be here. I just have to say, I have to give a shout out to the earrings.
Yeah.
Made by a fabulous female trio based in New York, I believe, called Swanky Design.
Swanky Design. Okay. Well, you
yeah. I'm not on the payroll. I just really love, you know, the work they put
You're not into on the it. Payroll. You're on the earlobe, which is even better.
That's
gorgeous. I see that, you know, that's kind of your style, though. You know, you wear a lot of long, dangly earrings.
I'm a dangler. What can I tell you? I was in a meeting the other day and somebody said to me, Mel, how many pairs of earrings do you own? And I immediately had to show them these and another pair. They're my thing.
Well, you know, hey, that's what women like. We like pretty things that make us feel happy.
Yeah.
Talking about feeling happy, how are you feeling during this pandemic? What's going on? What's rattling around in your brain?
Yeah, thank you. April, by the way, thank you so much for having me here.
I love you. I couldn't wait. I was excited. I kept posting.
Thank you. So what's it like? Well, in the UK, it depends where you are in life, April. You know, there are people, it goes from extreme to extreme. So there are people who have no food, and food banks are reporting that families are, you know, people going, approaching food banks for food, the figure's just gone right up. So that's one end of the spectrum. And we have a famous footballer here, a black footballer called Marcus Rashford, who did what the government could not do. And he has basically encouraged the country to provide free school meals. He's like basically directed millions towards food banks in the UK. It's absolutely astonishing that it should be happening in a so-called developed country. He's been a saint. And then you've got people who have children at home because they can't go to school. That keeps it on, then the next day it's off, so they can't plan anything, can't get any work done. And then you've got people like me who are actually doing really well. And I hesitate to share that because I don't want to minimize the challenge that a lot of people are going through.
But I know.
You know, it's horrendous for so many people.
I know, but I'm doing fine too.
You know?
I'm doing fine too. And you know, yeah. I'm following the rules, Mel.
You are? That means you're staying put, right?
I'm not a rule person. No, I'm staying put within reason. You know, yeah. I go out, you know, every day. And when I go out and do my walk, I don't wear a mask because I can't exercise with that carbon dioxide. But if I see somebody coming on the same side of the street, I cross over.
Yeah.
Go to the grocery store. I went to the post office and there was a lot of people in there and I had a little bit of anxiety. So I left. I said, I'll mail that package later.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm washing my hands. And I have a 91-year-old mother here. So, you know, immune compromised. But I'm a woman of a particular age. And my husband's an essential worker. So, you know, we've got a lot in the mix. And then my daughter's moving back in. And she's not happy about that. But she has a social life. You know, she's a costume and makeup designer. So how do I tell her, you know, you can't have any company? But that's exactly what I told her. You can't have no company. Yeah. Y'all go out. And even if she goes out with him, you can contract something and bring it back.
Yes. So
a couple of things I've done is I've had my come to Jesus meeting. Okay. With the board of directors in my head. Okay. And, you know, whatever, que sera, sera, whatever will be. Because before it's all over, each one of us is going to be touched by this. In some kind of way. It's like the flu. All of us have had the flu. All of us have had the common cold.
Yeah.
The thing is just, it's crazy. And I'm really surprised that a developed first world country like the UK has to have a third party create something for people to eat. I mean, you know, you would think that the Queen and all of them would give a couple million dollars to the food bank and, you know, your prime minister had the COVID himself, so I'm sure he knows exactly what this feels like and touch like. But, you know, you can't have expectations for people. I guess common sense isn't that common anymore.
I think you're right there. I mean, they have done some things, but it's patchy. You know, that's what people are complaining about, is some people have received help and some haven't, and it's patchy. And, you know, it's not an easy job. Who would want to lead at a time like this? But there are some very common sense things that don't seem to be happening and nobody understands why. Plus, we're a divided country. You know, we had Brexit. Some people wanted Brexit. Some people wanted to remain. And now we have, like I know you have in the USA, some people are like, COVID doesn't exist. They think we're all fantasists. And some people are like the opposite, like stay indoors and don't breathe any air. You know, it's like we've become such a divided country. Maybe we always were, but it's become much more prominent.
Well, I don't know why this is politicized. And, you know, I tell people here in the U.S., it's like, okay, I don't know anybody that has a worldwide pandemic on their resume. So they don't know what to do. Okay. And so you don't know what to do. Again, in marketing, you know, you don't know how to get the messaging out. Some people say physical distancing. Some people say social distancing. It's semantics. Keep your butt away from people. You know, 6 feet apart is a grocery cart. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's really not a big deal. And going to clubs and all that kind of stuff, you know, I'm past the club stage anyway. But to me, I couldn't have any fun, you know, if my homie can't get none. So it's crazy like that. It is crazy like that. But, you know, we have to adjust. We have to pivot. Yeah. We have to shift. And if it wasn't this, it would be something else. And see, we haven't even talked about the financial and economic fallout of all of this. This hasn't caught up with us yet. People thought when the clock struck 12, oh my God, this is the recipe for success.
Yes.
It's going down. And I can't wait for them to get rid of 45. But then when 46 comes in, got a hell of a job.
We haven't hit bottom yet. No, we haven't,
because we're in the United States. They're coming up with these trillions of dollars is what I want to know. That's exactly what I want to know. And, you know, to give us a $600 stimulus per person, I'm not ungrateful. I'm very grateful. But when my daughter's rent is $1,700 a month, that's not counting utilities and groceries and all that. I told her, you just got to come on back home, baby. You got to come on back home. And there's no shame associated with that. So I say that to you young brains, has got to go home and be with your family. That's the best possible place you can be. Get some good home cooking from your mama. Get some loving. Get some discipline, some well discipline that you haven't had in a long time. But also get a way to pivot your life and restart your life. Let's talk about the restart. Because marketing is not what it was December 31st, 2019.
Yeah.
People are marketing and they had their marketing plans and all these coaches had their pitches and all these companies. We're going to get you to six figures. Now we just need to help people level out.
Yes.
Just to kind of, you know, to maintain themselves. What are you seeing in the world of marketing?
Well, yeah, I agree with what you said. Also, in some ways, nothing has changed on one level, because there have been a lot of people who've been marketing online for a long time. And let me just match your cup.
That's right. Yeah, let's cheers. Here, darling, here's to you. That's right. I love it. Talking of
marketing, that's so brilliant. So a lot of people have been marketing online for a long, long time, almost below the radar. And if you were looking for them, you found them. And it's been a wake-up call for a lot of people who were like, I want to do it the old school way. I want analog. I want offline. You can't do that very much anymore. So you have to get online. So many people have had to learn to market online, to deliver online. And I think it's a good thing, because it's time consuming. You need to know a lot. But the one thing it is affordable. If you can get online, you can market yourself. The nature of the marketplace, which you pointed to, is another thing. But it is not true that people aren't buying. Yes, there are going to be some people who can't afford to eat, who can't afford to buy, but there are still people out there buying. I've had what last year, 2020 was one of my most profitable years. I went well over six figures and I had the biggest clients I've ever had. So there are still people buying, but it's the same old story that the people who are at the lower end, you know, almost literally starving. So I do think it is really important, if you are being successful, is to look for where you can help more than ever. You know, give your time, give information, give money, whatever you can give. So, yeah, if you've never marketed online before, there's a lot to learn. But you can just start, fix it as you go. You don't have to, you know, just start posting stuff on social media. So many people think there's a secret. Actually, there isn't that much of a secret. You just need to, like, get out there and be visible.
Right, being visible
is the thing that a lot of people, often, not especially, but I notice it a lot in women, they don't want to be visible. They don't want to do like a conversation like we're having. Absolutely. They find that really risky.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I want to piggyback on what you said. This is the opportune time, because the podcast is thriving. People want to be heard. They want to be heard from all over the world. And you have expanded your audience, brains. Yeah. Okay, the people that, you know, you were so encapsulated in that small circle of influence, the same 4,000 or 5,000 people getting the same email with the same non-open rate over and over again. Now the world is your oyster and you can pick a pearl. You really can. You can go and you can meet people in the UK. You can meet people in Spain, Africa, London, because they're online. They're just a point and a click away. So you definitely need to do that. You definitely need to do that. And again, visibility, you have to pass the sniff test. If people don't know, like, and trust you, obviously they're not going to do business with you. Until I connected with you, I didn't even know you existed.
That's it.
You know, and so you can't be afraid of that. You have to be cautious about what you put out there in the cyber thing, you know. If it's gonna be business, it's going to be business. You don't need to be showing pictures of yourself in a bikini.
Yeah.
Okay. But it just depends on what you're doing, unless your business is bikinis.
I just was thinking of so many people who do that to you know, especially the young things. You wouldn't catch me in a bikini.
And tailoring your marketing to the right audience. When you're talking to the millennials on YouTube, I'm not on YouTube, on Instagram, they don't want to hear the angry venom that you're spilling on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you're talking to the people on LinkedIn, you need to connect B2B, business to business, C-level, you know, E-level, and have that conversation. Have your picture, have your posting, have your logoing appropriate. When you're dealing with Facebook, you're building relationships. What you have for dinner? You know, what is, what are you drinking in your cup? How's your dog?
Yes.
And when you are dealing on Twitter, that's a whole different beast. You know, get to the point right now, quick, slick. You only got a few characters. You only got a few words. And, you know, get to the point. I hope to God that our new president doesn't use Twitter. I really do. But that's it. Yeah, it's just so ridiculous. I don't see anybody else on there. Okay, so now you've got this person that is, you know, excited about marketing. And they are thriving. What would you tell that person how to maintain and sustain themselves in this environment?
The first thing I think, just building what you were saying, is you have to have something to say. And it doesn't have to be earth-shattering, but it's like you need to have your own planet, as it were. You know, and there are stories from that planet. There's a culture from that planet. There are colors that you use from that planet. There's like your favorite drink, your favorite place, your dog, your husband. It's like, and you don't have to share all your private stuff. Just like have something to say. And it could be like, this is how I love to make castles out of matchsticks. You know, it could be something really kind of crazy, or it could be big, like let's change the world. But recognize that your story is valuable, what you have to share, because for a long time, my story was, I have no story, I have nothing to say. And I really believe that. I really believe that I didn't really matter much, and that I knew I wanted to make a difference, but I thought, I don't know what to say. But when you look at your life, and you look at some of the struggles you've had and what you've been through, that is your story. And people love to hear that. You don't have to bare your soul, but you can just say, this is how I got from A to B. You know, my story is very simple. It's like, I wanted to be a business coach, but I didn't feel that I was a business person. It's almost like I couldn't even see that I'd been running a business for years and years, because I had this idea in my head of what I thought a business, real business, was men in suits. I mean, it sounds insane now, but that's kind of how I was thinking.
What was your life before?
Before coaching, it was pretty good, I can't lie. You know, I had worked in different parts of the world. I was like I still am a marketing consultant. And I was doing kind of research mostly and helping people create strategy. I was hiding. Like, to give you an idea, April, I wrote a book for one of the major arts funders in this country, and I never promoted it. So I was so scared that there might be a mistake in the book. I mean, how insane is that? We're talking about 20 years ago, you know. And so I was doing great work, but I just was hiding it all the time. So it was frustrating, because I knew I wanted to be bigger, but I wasn't being courageous enough to step up and let people see me and be prepared to make a mistake, to fail.
Exactly.
You have to be prepared to do that, you know? I'm sure you've been through that.
Oh, yeah, that's the learning part, you know? Well, don't kill you, make you strong.
Exactly. I love that saying.
So you have to forge ahead, and you have to be a risk taker. Because now, like I said, it's a crapshoot to step outside your door. So much less building a business, trusting people. And so many people are not good with marketing. And yeah. They say, well, I'm not good at marketing myself. It's consistency. It's repetition. You need to have a good logo. I love the story that you told that I share with my brains about buying an inexpensive logo for $5 on Fiverr.
Yeah.
You know, and it carried you through the company that you worked with for 7 years, and you did some minor tweaks. It does. You know, I hear people say the same thing. Oh, I have to have my website. Well, brains, you know, newsflash, folks aren't going through 5 or 6 pages of a website. They're looking at a landing page. They want the critical 6. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And after that, they're over it. They're over it. Your colors need to pop. They need to represent who you are. You need to be consistent with your logo and your messaging all the time. Don't change it here. Change the font there. Change it. That's not marketing. That's mayhem.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. It has consistency is so important. And, you know, sometimes you want, if you're a creative person, I coach a lot of creative people. They want to change stuff all the time.
You
have to train yourself. To, you know, because you think about all the big brands that we all know and love, they're just the same. And that when they make a tweak, it's so minor, you wouldn't even notice it, you know, when they change their brands. I mean, if you look at, like, I don't know, Coca-Cola brand over the years.
Exactly.
It's so gradual, you know, over the time.
It's like the Nike check. You see that, whether it has Nike or not, you know exactly who that is.
Yeah.
Consistency. I use that all the time. So you are a part of a team, you know, a killer team of 7 women. Not 7 women, I don't know how many women it was, but you did it for 7 years, and now you're branching out on your own. What does the texture feel like working with the team and now doing it solo, being a solopreneur?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I wouldn't say it's completely solo, by the way, because I've just gone and built up another team, but it's a different kind of team. I had a business with two other women, and we built up a team of 6 apprentices, and we were basically coaching women who were, you know, 40 plus, who wanted to sort of make some kind of transition in their life. And it was amazing, amazing, amazing experience. And we used to take them on luxury retreats, etc. But what happened was we all empowered each other so much that we realized we just wanted to lead our own thing. It was like we helped, we kind of midwifed each other into all creating our own businesses, and we still work together sometimes, we're still all friends. So for me, it's actually without negating the experience I had with those two women, because, you know, we literally had a call the other day, I feel now like I'm totally in the zone. If my life was like a Rubik's Cube and I was clicking all those pieces, it's finally clicked into place. Everything is working. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm working with clients I want. I've got just the right amount of creativity. I'm earning what I want to earn. I'm working with amazing people. And that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't stepped out by myself. However, you can't be successful totally working on your own. There's always people supporting you. Like when I'm coaching people, I'd say, tell me about your team. Sometimes solopreneurs will say, I don't have a team. And I'm like, you do have a team, actually. The person that designs for you, or that person you confide in when you've had a bad day. There may not be like an official team. So we all have people around us. With some of my work, I work with other associates. So with certain projects, I'll bring in other people. And there's some people I'm working with a lot at the moment, and they're amazing. What I really love is I had a vision of something and I'm now making it happen. And that is something I wasn't prepared to sacrifice. So the short answer is it feels fantastic, fulfilling and amazing. And I'm so geared up for this year. I feel really, really excited about what I'm going to create next. And
yeah, I do too. Last night I had a download. I'm going to write not one, but two books this year.
Wow. Excellent.
And again, you know, they're not going to be 360 pages, 400 pages, but they're going to be insightful. They're going to be impactful and they're going to be fun and something that I enjoy. And one of them is going to be called 365. Every day, I'm putting a little note in a jar of what I learned that day. You learn something every day. People don't realize what they learn. And yesterday was a whole page. It was crazy good. So, you know, that is something that, again, I find amusing because now I'm seeking it out. I'm looking for the joy. I'm looking to see what I'm going to learn. I'm looking to see how I'm going to change. I'm looking to see how I'm going to impact someone else's life. And that's so important. You had a very famous quote that you like to say. Can you share that with my brains?
Okay. Yeah, I have two, actually. I think the one that you're remembering, is it the Alice Walker quote?
Yes.
She said something like, the most common mistake people make around power is thinking they don't have any. Mm. And, you know, that for me sums up a lot of my life. You know, like I was saying before, that I didn't think I had anything to say and I avoided being visible. But we all have power. We're born powerful. We are born with unlimited power. And we never lose that.
Well, in this COVID, honey, it's limited.
Well, it depends. Maybe the power to go out and party. We don't have the power to party at the moment, but we have the power to shape our lives, to make a difference. And a lot of us, sadly, we don't recognize that, because if we're not taught to utilize it, or worse, if we have parenting or schooling that somehow squashes us and crushes us, we forget that we always have this power. And that's why I love coaching, because once I work with someone and they get to remember their power, there's nothing they can't do. And to see someone blossom is the best thing in the world.
It is. And again, like, I love what you said, you know, it's okay to show up, and, you know, you can be foolish. You can have fun. You can laugh. You can giggle. You can make the mistakes and you can be honest about them. And, you know, again, you're being honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself before you can touch anybody else. Tell us a little bit about your mini program.
Oh, thank you so much for asking. So I have a mini program called Small Business, Big Dream. And it basically takes you through the 7 common mistakes that small businesses make. When I say small businesses, by the way, I mean freelancers, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, maybe a small business where you have a team of like 6 people. Also, people with a passion project like to work with me. So it takes you through those 7 common mistakes. You're almost
certain. Share a couple of them with us?
I'm sorry?
You want to share a couple of them with us?
No, I can't, because you have to. It's all top secret.
I was trying to get it. I was trying to get it for you.
I will tell you one thing that I think is really important. Okay. So I'm going to give you, it's kind of a freebie. It's not a secret. But let me just share, I had this with me here. So this is my vision board. Let me just take it out of the shiny covering. Okay. This is the vision board that I created for 2020, right?
Okay.
So, you know, just a scrappy little bit of magazine put together. Now, the number six is me going into six figures. And this here says patience. This says let's go. And that's me, a representation of me in the middle, lotus effect. Mm-hmm. When I created this, nobody had heard of COVID. I was like, I'm going to have the best year ever.
Wow.
I created that. And the six stands for going into six figures. I was close, but I hadn't tipped over into it. Come March, when COVID hit, I was like, okay, let's just rip up this vision board because it ain't going to happen. The world is just, you know, going to hell in a handcart. And then a couple of weeks later, when I processed it all, I thought, no, you promised yourself and your clients that you were going to do this. Stick to it. So I decided I was going to be a yes to everything that came my way. If it scared me, I was going to do what it took. And to cut a long story short, I went well over six figures and I provided work for other people too. Wow. So that lotus effect, when I wrote lotus effect, I didn't know that the lotus effect or patient, being patient, would mean be patient and calm through this storm that the whole world is going through. So one of my top tips when I'm working with people, or you can do this for yourself, anyone who's watching, is create a vision board. It's just a collage. And this is what I'm going to be saying this Friday at my paid for event.
Now, let me agree to disagree with you a little bit on the vision
board. Go for it.
Because I create a vision board. Yeah. But I create a vision board and I put obstacles in the way. Stop signs, bumps, not tragedy, but something unforeseen. Because again, your vision can be clouded. It's like happiness. You're always chasing that high. You're always really ready to level up. And sometimes there's a stop sign, like COVID. So I like to give myself a little breather. I like to say, okay, I'm looking at this, but there are going to be obstacles. How am I going to forge ahead? How am I going to deviate? How am I going to step back and reset myself? Because, you know, again, you had to step back and reassess yourself. Yes. There might have been clients that wasn't your ideal client. You got to say no sometime.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've also got to be able to accept when someone says no to you. So there's a variance in that. So I get it, but you do need to have a compass. You do need to have some direction. You need to have your own internal GPS.
I totally agree. And April, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but scientists who study this say to do exactly what you've said. When you visualize, don't just visualize what you want, visualize yourself overcoming the obstacles. So don't be a Pollyanna and say everything's going to be fine, because life doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. But you expect obstacles and you visualize yourself overcoming them. So that's cutting edge. And one thing I'm going to be sharing this Friday is there's a fantastic woman that I read. I've forgotten her name, but she wrote a book called The Source, and she's a neuroscientist, and she endorses vision boards.
Yes, so, I do too.
Arty
and go back and revisit your vision.
Yes.
You know, you get to 3 months and you say, oh, wow, you know, I didn't lose 40 pounds, but I lost 12. Reward and recognize yourself for the accomplishments that you had. Also do brain dumps. I love to do a brain dump where I will get a pencil and a piece of paper or some stickies and everything that's running through my mind.
Yeah.
What's for dinner? Do I need gas in my car? How much money do I have? How much money do I need? Yeah. You know, all those things. And I dump it and I put the stickies, and it allows me space in my brain. It allows me to expand it because I've dumped some things. Then I'll sit there and I'll look at them and I'll put them together like a puzzle. Okay, this goes with this. This goes with that. Yes, brains. I'm always sitting here amusing myself. You see, don't you? But I love to have fun with it. And that is a part of being creative, is expanding your brain with challenging yourself and working with great people like Mel Larson to bring it all together and make it seamless. You have to offset that. You've got to have somebody else to edit and filter. And it can't necessarily be your spouse or your girlfriend, because they have too much of an emotional attachment. Sometimes you need to step outside of that arena and play, you know, with a different coach so that your team can win. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Mel Larson, so that they can win.
Oh, thank you so much, April. You've been so generous. I really appreciate it. So if you want to get in touch with me, the best place to go is my website, Mel Larson. No, not Mel Larson, wrong site. Dreamprojectcoach.com. Dreamprojectcoach.com. And you'll find everything you need there. And there's a freebie on the homepage. So you can, you know, download a 6-minute audio visualization. Perfect time of year to do it. My husband did the music for it. Close your eyes for 6 minutes. Imagine the future you want. This is the best time to do it. And it will cost you nothing apart from just downloading it.
Well, you know, time is everything. And so invest the time, okay? You didn't pay to get up in here. You might as well pay attention.
I love that.
I adore you. I adore you so much. And thank you so much for being here on The Edge with me and my brains. Brains, I need you to go and subscribe. I need to raise those numbers, okay? I know y'all's watching and listening, but you watching and listening on Facebook. I need you on YouTube. I need you on Instagram. I need you on LinkedIn. All the great places, because that's where it's happening. And that's where we're going to help make it happen for you. And again, you know, create a vision, follow through, take a risk, learn to laugh, and expand your bandwidth across the pond. All right. Love you, brains. Love you. I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Thank you, everyone. All right. Thank you so much, April. Great to meet you. Yes. Oh gosh. So I'm itching my ear and I could be live. Whatever.
No, that's okay. You can itch your ear and, you know, do everything, but get food out of your teeth and get a boogie out your nose.
I've done all that.
Exactly. I'm so glad to have you all the way here on The Edge with me. Okay. The place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Here's to you, baby. Brains, we have right there Mel Larson from the UK. She has such a sparkly personality. She is just warm and inviting, and she is a marketing maven. We're going to talk to her about life in the UK. What does marketing really look like now in this new different? Because I can't call it normal, girl. We ain't leveled out. They've moved to a tier 5 in the UK. I want to know what that's like. And maybe some fun facts, because she just is so funny. And girl, them earrings is wearing me down. Those are gorgeous. Thank you. Absolutely gorgeous. So, Brains, help me welcome our guest today to the show, Mel Larson. Hi.
Hi, April, and hi, Brains. I am so excited to be here. I just have to say, I have to give a shout out to the earrings.
Yeah.
Made by a fabulous female trio based in New York, I believe, called Swanky Design.
Swanky Design. Okay. Well, you
I'm not on the payroll. I'm not on the payroll. I just really love, you know, the work they put
in. You're not on the payroll. You're on the earlobe, which is even better.
That's
gorgeous. I see that, you know, that's kind of your style, though. You know, you wear a lot of long, dangly earrings.
I'm a dangler. What can I tell you? I was in a meeting the other day and somebody said to me, Mel, how many pairs of earrings do you own? And I immediately had to show them these and another pair. They're my thing.
Well, you know, hey, that's what women like. We like pretty things that make us feel happy.
Yeah.
Talking about feeling happy, how are you feeling during this pandemic? What's going on? What's rattling around in your brain?
Yeah, thank you. April, by the way, thank you so much for having me here.
I love you. I couldn't wait. I was excited. I kept posting.
Thank you. So what's it like? Well, in the UK, it depends where you are in life, April. You know, there are people, it goes from extreme to extreme. So there are people who have no food, and food banks are reporting that families are, you know, people going, approaching food banks for food, the figure's just gone right up. So that's one end of the spectrum. And we have a famous footballer here, a black footballer called Marcus Rashford, who did what the government could not do. And he has basically encouraged the country to provide free school meals. He's like basically directed millions towards food banks in the UK. It's absolutely astonishing that it should be happening in a so-called developed country. He's been a saint. And then you've got people who have children at home because they can't go to school. That keeps it on, then the next day it's off, so they can't plan anything, can't get any work done. And then you've got people like me who are actually doing really well. And I hesitate to share that because I don't want to minimize the challenge that a lot of people are going through.
I know.
You know, it's horrendous for so many people.
I know, but I'm doing fine too.
You know?
I'm doing fine too. And, you know, yeah. I'm following the rules, Mel.
You are? That means you're staying put, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not a rule person. No, I'm staying put within reason. You know, yeah. I go out, you know, every day. And when I go out and do my walk, I don't wear a mask because I can't exercise with that carbon dioxide. But if I see somebody coming on the same side of the street, I cross over.
Yeah.
Go to the grocery store. I went to the post office and there was a lot of people in there and I had a little bit of anxiety, so I left. I said, I'll mail that package later.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm washing my hands and I have a 91-year-old mother here. So, you know, immune compromised. But I'm a woman of a particular age and my husband's an essential worker. So, you know, we've got a lot in the mix. And then my daughter's moving back in and she's not happy about that, but she has a social life. You know, she's a costume and makeup designer. So how do I tell her, you know, you can't have any company? But that's exactly what I told her. You can't have no company. Yeah. Y'all go out. And even if she goes out with him, you can contract something and bring it back.
Yes. So
a couple of things I've done is I've had my come to Jesus meeting. Okay. With the board of directors in my head. Okay. And, you know, whatever, que sera, sera, whatever will be. Because before it's all over, each one of us is going to be touched by this. In some kind of way. It's like the flu. All of us have had the flu. All of us have had the common cold.
Yeah.
The thing is just, it's crazy. And I'm really surprised that a developed first world country like the UK has to have a third party create something for people to eat. I mean, you know, you would think that the Queen and all them would give a couple $1 million to the food bank and, you know, your prime minister had the COVID himself, so I'm sure he knows exactly what this feels like and touch like. But, you know, you can't have expectations for people. I guess common sense isn't that common anymore.
I think you're right there. I mean, they have done some things, but it's patchy. You know, that's what people are complaining about, is some people have received help and some haven't, and it's patchy. And, you know, it's not an easy job. Who would want to lead at a time like this? But there are some very common sense things that don't seem to be happening and nobody understands why. Plus, we're a divided country. You know, we had Brexit. Some people wanted Brexit. Some people wanted to remain. And now we have, like I know you have in the USA, some people are like, COVID doesn't exist. They think we're all fantasists. And some people are like the opposite, like stay indoors and don't breathe any air. You know, it's like we've become such a divided country. Maybe we always were, but it's become much more prominent.
Well, I don't know why this is politicized. And, you know, I tell people here in the U.S., it's like, okay, I don't know anybody that has a worldwide pandemic on their resume. So they don't know what to do. Okay. And so you don't know what to do. Again, in marketing, you know, you don't know how to get the messaging out. Some people say physical distancing. Some people say social distancing. You know, it's semantics. Keep your butt away from people. You know, 6 feet apart is a grocery cart. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's really not a big deal. And going to clubs and all that kind of stuff, you know, I'm past the club stage anyway. But to me, I couldn't have any fun, you know, if my homie can't get none. So it's crazy like that. It is crazy like that. But, you know, we have to adjust. We have to pivot.
Yeah.
We have to shift. And if it wasn't this, it would be something else. And see, we haven't even talked about the financial and economic fallout of all of this. Hasn't caught up with us yet. People thought when the clock struck 12, oh my God, this is the recipe for success.
Yes.
It's going down. And I can't wait for them to get rid of 45. But then when 46 comes in, got a hell of a job.
We haven't hit Boston yet.
We haven't, because we're in the United States. They're coming up with these trillions of dollars is what I want to know. That's exactly what I want to know. And, you know, to give us a $600 stimulus per person, I'm not ungrateful. I'm very grateful. But when my daughter's renting $1,700 a month, that's not counting utilities and groceries and all that. I told her, you just got to come on back home, baby. You got to come on back home. And there's no shame associated with that. So I say that to you young brains that got to go home and be with your family. That's the best possible place you can be. Get some good home cooking from your mama. Get some loving. Get some discipline, some well discipline that you haven't had in a long time. But also get a way to pivot your life and restart your life. Let's talk about the restart. Because marketing is not what it was December 31st, 2019.
Yeah.
People are marketing and they had their marketing plans and all these coaches had their pitches and all these companies. We're going to get you to six figures. Now we just need to help people level out.
Yes.
Just to kind of, you know, to maintain themselves. What are you seeing in the world of marketing?
Well, yeah, I agree with what you said. Also, in some ways, nothing has changed on one level, because there have been a lot of people who've been marketing online for a long time. And let me just match your cup.
That's right. Cheers. Here, darling, here's to you. That's right. I love it.
Talking of marketing, that's so brilliant. So a lot of people have been marketing online for a long, long time, almost below the radar. And if you were looking for them, you found them. And it's been a wake-up call for a lot of people who are like, I want to do it the old school way, I want analog, I want offline. You can't do that very much anymore, so you have to get online. So many people have had to learn to market online, to deliver online. And I think it's a good thing, because it's time-consuming, you need to know a lot, but the one thing it is affordable. If you can get online, you can market yourself. The nature of the marketplace, which you pointed to, is another thing. But it is not true that people aren't buying. Yes, there are going to be some people who can't afford to eat, who can't afford to buy, but there are still people out there buying. I've had what last year, 2020 was one of my most profitable years. I went well over six figures and I had the biggest clients I've ever had. So there are still people buying, but it's the same old story that the people who are at the lower end, you know, almost literally starving. So I do think it is really important, if you are being successful, is to look for where you can help more than ever. You know, give your time, give information, give money, whatever you can give. So, yeah, if you've never marketed online before, there's a lot to learn. But you can just start, fix it as you go. You don't have to, you know, just start posting stuff on social media. So many people think there's a secret. Actually, there isn't that much of a secret. You just need to, like, get out there and be visible.
Right, being visible
is the thing that a lot of people, often not especially, but I notice it a lot in women, they don't want to be visible. They don't want to do like a conversation like we're having. Absolutely. They find that risky.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I want to piggyback on what you said. This is the opportune time, because the podcast is thriving. People want to be heard. They want to be heard from all over the world. And you have expanded your audience, brains. Yeah. Okay, the people that, you know, you were so encapsulated in that small circle of influence, the same 4,000 or 5,000 people getting the same email with the same non-open rate over and over again. Now the world is your oyster and you can pick a pearl. You really can. You can go and you can meet people in the UK. You can meet people in Spain, Africa, London, because they're online. They're just a point and a click away. So you definitely need to do that. You definitely need to do that. And again, visibility, you have to pass the sniff test. If people don't know, like, and trust you, obviously they're not going to do business with you. Until I connected with you, I didn't even know you existed.
That's it.
You know, and so you can't be afraid of that. You have to be cautious about what you put out there in the cyber thing. You know, if it's gonna be business, it's going to be business. You don't need to be showing pictures of yourself in a bikini.
Yeah.
Okay. But it just depends on what you're doing, unless your business is bikinis.
I just was thinking of so many people who do that to you know, especially the young things. You wouldn't catch me in a bikini.
And tailoring your marketing to the right audience. When you're talking to the millennials on YouTube, I'm not on YouTube, on Instagram, they don't want to hear the angry venom that you're spilling on Twitter.
Yeah.
You're talking to the people on LinkedIn. You need to connect B2B, business to business, C-level, you know, E-level, and have that conversation. Have your picture, have your posting, have your logoing appropriate. When you're dealing with Facebook, you're building relationships. What you have for dinner? You know, what is, you know, what are you drinking in your cup? How's your dog?
Yes.
And when you are dealing on Twitter, that's a whole different beast. You know, get to the point right now, quick, slick. You only got a few characters. You only got a few words and, you know, get to the point. I hope to God that our new president doesn't use Twitter. I really do. But that's it. Yeah, it's just so ridiculous. I don't see anybody else on there. Okay, so now you've got this person that is, you know, excited about marketing and they are thriving. What would you tell that person how to maintain and sustain themselves in this environment?
The first thing I think, just building what you were saying, is you have to have something to say. And it doesn't have to be earth-shattering, but it's like you need to have your own planet, as it were. You know, and there are stories from that planet. There's a culture from that planet. There are colors that you use from that planet. There's like your favorite drink, your favorite place, your dog, your husband. It's like, and you don't have to share all your private stuff. Just like have something to say. And it could be like, this is how I love to make castles out of matchsticks. You know, it could be something really kind of crazy, or it could be big, like let's change the world. But recognize that your story is valuable, what you have to share. Because for a long time, my story was, I have no story, I have nothing to say. And I really believe that. I really believe that I didn't really matter much, and that I knew I wanted to make a difference, but I thought, I don't know what to say. But when you look at your life and you look at some of the struggles you've had and what you've been through, that is your story. And people love to hear that. You don't have to bare your soul, but you can just say, this is how I got from A to B. You know, my story is very simple. It's like, I wanted to be a business coach, but I didn't feel that I was a business person. It's almost like I couldn't even see that I'd been running a business for years and years, because I had this idea in my head of what I thought a business, real business, was men in suits. I mean, it sounds insane now, but that's kind of how I was thinking.
What was your life before?
Before coaching, it was pretty good. I can't lie. You know, I had worked in different parts of the world. I was like I still am a marketing consultant, and I was doing kind of research mostly and helping people create strategy. I was hiding, like, to give you an idea, April, I wrote a book for one of the major arts funders in this country, and I never promoted it. So I was so scared that there might be a mistake in the book. I mean, how insane is that? We're talking about 20 years ago, you know. And so I was doing great work, but I just was hiding it all the time. So it was frustrating, because I knew I wanted to be bigger, but I wasn't being courageous enough to step up and let people see me and be prepared to make a mistake, to fail.
That,
you have to be prepared to do that, you know? I'm sure you've been through that.
Oh, yeah, that's the learning part, you know? Well, don't kill you, make you strong.
Exactly. I love that saying. So
you have to forge ahead, and you have to be a risk taker. Because now, like I said, it's a crapshoot to step outside your door. So much less building a business, trusting people. And so many people are not good with marketing. And they say, well, I'm not good at marketing myself. It's consistency. It's repetition. You need to have a good logo. I love the story that you told that I share with my brains about buying an inexpensive logo for $5 on Fiverr.
Yeah.
You know, and it carried you through the company that you worked with for 7 years, and you did some minor tweaks. It does. You know, I hear people say the same thing. Oh, I have to have my website. Well, brains, you know, newsflash. Folks aren't going through 5 or 6 pages of a website. They're looking at a landing page. They want the critical 6. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And after that, they're over it. They're over it. Your colors need to pop. They need to represent who you are. You need to be consistent with your logo and your messaging all the time. Don't change it here. Change the font there. Change it. That's not marketing. That's mayhem.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. It has consistency is so important. And, you know, sometimes you want, if you're a creative person, I coach a lot of creative people, they want to change stuff all the time.
All the time.
You have to train yourself. To, you know, because you think about all the big brands that we all know and love, they're just the same. And that when they make a tweak, it's so minor you wouldn't even notice it, you know, when they change their brands. I mean, if you look at, like, I don't know, Coca-Cola brand over the years.
Exactly.
It's so gradual, you know, over the time.
It's like the Nike check. You see that, whether it has Nike or not, you know exactly who that is.
Yeah.
Consistency. I use that all the time. So you were a part of a team, you know, a killer team of seven women. And I mean, not seven women. I don't know how many women it was, but you did it for 7 years. And now you're branching out on your own. What does the texture feel like working with the team and now doing it solo, being a solopreneur?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I wouldn't say it was completely solo, by the way, because I've just gone and built up another team, but it's a different kind of team. I had a business with two other women, and we built up a team of six apprentices. And we were basically coaching women who were, you know, 40 plus, who wanted to sort of make some kind of transition in their life. And it was amazing, amazing, amazing experience. And we used to take them on luxury retreats, etc. But what happened was we all empowered each other so much that we realized we just wanted to lead our own thing. It was like we helped, we kind of midwifed each other into all creating our own businesses. And we still work together sometimes, we're still all friends. So for me, it's actually without negating the experience I had with those two women, because, you know, we literally had a call the other day. I feel now like I'm totally in the zone. If my life was like a Rubik's Cube and I was clicking all those pieces, it's finally clicked into place. Everything is working. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm working with clients I want. I've got just the right amount of creativity. I'm earning what I want to earn. I'm working with amazing people. And that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't stepped out by myself. However, you can't be successful totally working on your own. There's always people supporting you. Like when I'm coaching people, I'd say, tell me about your team. Sometimes solopreneurs will say, I don't have a team. And I'm like, you do have a team, actually. The person that designs for you, or that person you confide in when you've had a bad day. There may not be like an official team. So we all have people around us. With some of my work, I work with other associates. So with certain projects, I'll bring in other people. And there's some people I'm working with a lot at the moment, and they're amazing. What I really love is I had a vision of something and I'm now making it happen. And that is something I wasn't prepared to sacrifice. So the short answer is it feels fantastic, fulfilling and amazing. And I'm so geared up for this year. I feel really, really excited about what I'm going to create next. And
yeah, I do too. Last night I had a download. I'm going to write not one, but two books this year.
Wow. Excellent.
And again, you know, they're not going to be 360 pages, 400 pages, but they're going to be insightful, they're going to be impactful, and they're going to be fun and something that I enjoy. And one of them is going to be called 365. Every day, I'm putting a little note in a jar of what I learned that day. You learn something every day. People don't realize what they learn. And yesterday was a whole page. It was crazy good. So, you know, that is something that, again, I find amusing because now I'm seeking it out. I'm looking for the joy. I'm looking to see what I'm going to learn. I'm looking to see how I'm going to change. I'm looking to see how I'm going to impact someone else's life. And that's so important. You had a very famous quote that you like to say. Can you share that with my brains?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have two, actually. I think the one that you're remembering, is it the Alice Walker quote?
Yes.
She said something like, the most common mistake people make around power is thinking they don't have any.
Mm.
And, you know, that for me sums up a lot of my life. You know, like I was saying before, that I didn't think I had anything to say and I avoided being visible. But we all have power. We're born powerful. We are born with unlimited power. And we never lose that.
Well, in this COVID, honey, it's limited.
Well, it depends. Maybe the power to go out and party. We don't have the power to party at the moment, but we have the power to shape our lives, to make a difference. And a lot of us, sadly, we don't recognize that, because if we're not taught to utilize it, or worse, if we have parenting or schooling that somehow squashes us and crushes us, we forget that we always have this power. And that's why I love coaching, because once I work with someone and they get to remember their power, there's nothing they can't do. And to see someone blossom is the best thing in the world.
It is. And again, like, I love what you said, you know, it's okay to show up, and, you know, you cannot, you be foolish. You can be foolish. You can have fun. You can laugh. You can giggle. You can make the mistakes, and you can be honest about them. And, you know, again, you're being honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself before you can touch anybody else. Tell us a little bit about your mini program.
Oh, thank you so much for asking. So I have a mini program called Small Business, Big Dream. And it basically takes you through the 7 common mistakes that small businesses make. When I say small businesses, by the way, I mean freelancers, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, maybe a small business where you have a team of like 6 people, also people with a passion project like to work with me. So it takes you through those 7 common mistakes. You're almost
certain. Share a couple of them with us?
I'm sorry?
Want to share a couple of them with us?
No, I can't, because you have to. It's all top secret.
I was trying to get it for you.
I will tell you one thing that I think is really important. Okay. So I'm going to give you, it's kind of a freebie. It's not a secret, but let me just share. I had this with me here. So this is my vision board. Let me just take it out of the shiny covering. Okay. This is the vision board that I created for 2020, right?
Okay.
So, you know, just a scrappy little bit of magazine put together. Now, the number 6 is me going into 6 figures. And this here says patience. This says let's go. And that's me, a representation of me in the middle, Lotus Effect. Mm-hmm. When I created this, nobody had heard of COVID. I was like, I'm going to have the best year ever.
Wow.
I created that. And the 6 stands for going into 6 figures. I was close, but I hadn't tipped over into it. Come March, when COVID hit, I was like, okay, let's just rip up this vision board, because it ain't going to happen. The world is just, you know, going to hell in a handcart. And then a couple of weeks later, when I processed it all, I thought, no, you promised yourself and your clients you were going to do this, stick to it. So I decided I was going to be a yes to everything that came my way. If it scared me, I was going to do what it took. And to cut a long story short, I went well over 6 figures, and I provided work for other people too. Wow. So that Lotus Effect, when I wrote Lotus Effect, I didn't know that the Lotus Effect, or patient, being patient, would mean be patient and calm through this storm that the whole world is going through. So one of my top tips when I'm working with people, or you can do this for yourself, anyone who's watching, is create a vision board. It's just a collage. And this is what I'm going to be saying this Friday at my paid for event.
Agree to disagree with you a little bit on the vision
board. Go for it.
Because I create a vision board, but I create a vision board and I put obstacles in the way. Stop signs, bumps, you know, not tragedy, but something unforeseen. Because again, your vision can be clouded. It's like happiness. You're always chasing that high. You're always really ready to level up. And sometimes there's a stop sign, like COVID. So I like to give myself a little breather. I like to say, okay, I'm looking at this, but there are going to be obstacles. How am I going to forge ahead? How am I going to deviate? How am I going to step back and reset myself? Because, you know, again, you had to step back and reassess yourself. Yes. There might have been clients that wasn't your ideal client. You got to say no sometime.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've also got to be able to accept when someone says no to you. So there's a variance in that. So I get it. But you do need to have a compass. You do need to have some direction. You need to have your own internal GPS.
I totally agree. And April, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but scientists who study this say to do exactly what you've said. When you visualize, don't just visualize what you want, visualize yourself overcoming the obstacles. So don't be a Pollyanna and say everything's going to be fine, because life doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. But you expect obstacles and you visualize yourself overcoming them. So that's cutting edge. And one thing I'm going to be sharing this Friday is there's a fantastic woman that I read. I've forgotten her name, but she wrote a book called The Source, and she's a neuroscientist, and she endorses vision boards.
Yes, so, I do too.
Arty thing,
and go back and revisit your vision.
Yes.
You know, you get to 3 months and you say, oh, wow, you know, I didn't lose 40 pounds, but I lost 12. Reward and recognize yourself for the accomplishments that you had. Also do brain dumps. I love to do a brain dump. Yeah. where I will get a pencil and a piece of paper or some stickies and everything that's running through my mind.
Yeah.
What's for dinner? Do I need gas in my car? How much money do I have? How much money do I need? Yeah. You know, all those things. And I dump it and I put the stickies and it allows me space in my brain. It allows me to expand it because I've dumped some things. Then I'll sit there and I'll look at them and I'll put them together like a puzzle. Okay, this goes with this, this goes with that. Yes, brains, I'm always sitting here amusing myself. You see, don't you? But I love to have fun with it. And that is a part of being creative, is expanding your brain with challenging yourself.
Yes.
And working with great people like Mel Larson to bring it all together and make it seamless. You have to offset that. You've got to have somebody else to edit and filter. And it can't necessarily be your spouse or your girlfriend because they have too much of an emotional attachment. Sometimes you need to step outside of that arena and play, you know, with a different coach so that your team can win. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Mel Larson, so that they can win.
Thank you so much, April. You've been so generous. I really appreciate it. So if you want to get in touch with me, the best place to go is my website, Mel Larson. No, not Mel Larson, wrong site, dreamprojectcoach.com. Dreamprojectcoach.com. And you'll find everything you need there. And there's a freebie on the homepage. So you can, you know, download a 6-minute audio visualization. Perfect time of year to do it. My husband did the music for it. Close your eyes for 6 minutes. Imagine the future you want. This is the best time to do it. And it will cost you nothing apart from just downloading it.
Well, you know, time is everything. And so invest the time, okay? You didn't pay to get up in here. You might as well pay attention.
I love that.
I adore you. I adore you so much. And thank you so much for being here on The Edge with me and my brains. Brains, I need you to go and subscribe. I need to raise those numbers, okay? I know y'all's watching and listening, but you watching and listening on Facebook. I need you on YouTube. I need you on Instagram. I need you on LinkedIn, all the great places, because that's where it's happening. And that's where we're going to help make it happen for you. And again, you know, create a vision, follow through, take a risk, learn to laugh, and expand your bandwidth across the pond. All right. Love you, brains. Love you. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you, everyone. All right. Thank you so much, April. Great to meet you.